Hey, this is Stacey Gatsoulias.
DC Lundberg.
Ryan Finkelstein.
Taylor Blake Ward.
Host of Locked On Yankees.
Locked On Mariners.
Locked On Mets.
Locked On Angels.
And you're listening to Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Good morning, Braves fans. Welcome to another episode of the Locked On Braves podcast, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, our partners at Tegna and the Odyssey Group. The Locked On Podcast Network bringing you a wide-ranging host of shows, ranging all the way from college football to NFL football to draft, whether it's NBA or college football, whether it's basketball talk, hockey talk, baseball. Who knows? If there's a sport that you like, there's a fair chance there's a Locked On show dedicated to your favorite sport and dedicated to bringing you the knowledge you need to succeed and be the fan that you've always dreamed of. Being the Locked On Podcast Network and their host of shows do all the work for you so you can just sit back and enjoy. Like and subscribe to your favorite shows and favorite hosts so you can be kept up to date whenever a new episode drops, and you can be the king of the cave with the Locked On Podcast Network, bringing you your teams every single day. Okay, so last night did not go exactly as we planned for the Braves. I just want to point out, if you had told anybody before this series started that the Braves would be in Game 2 in L.A., Game 4 of the series, and they would be leading 2-1, you'd have jumped up and down for joy. I don't say that to say that, you know, it's a house money and we shouldn't be upset at the way that the Braves lost last night. I just say that to keep in perspective for this team that what matters is not necessarily what we see day in and day out. Remember what you thought of this series before the Braves jumped out to a 2-0 lead on the basis of two walk-offs. This has been a very, very even series where you had a lot of the luck that the Braves were having at home. The Dodgers kind of got a little bit of that themselves. And both teams made a fair number of mistakes. Particularly, the Braves in base running have not been very good friends in this NLCS. Last night, another couple of examples where just shoddy base running by the Braves cost them at least one run and maybe two. Started right away in the first inning when Eddie Rosario inexplicably got too far off the bag on a fly ball by Ozzie Albies, gets doubled off. And then you had an instance where Ron Washington, who said the two most aggressive sends I've ever seen in Game 2 to send Eddie Rosario and Ozzie to the plate where it looked like they had zero shot of getting there. He held up Adam Duvall on a play in which Adam Duvall could have literally walked into the plate and been perfectly fine. I don't know if that was a case of Wash maybe having a little bit on the back burner of like, whoa, hey, and realizing how close he was to disaster in Game 2, but it did cost the Braves this time, and the Braves end up going down by a single run thanks to a three-run Cody Bellinger homer. Shocker. We'll talk about that in a little bit here. But it is a little bit – it's funny how that works, where you can see plays early on, and you kind of look at them knowing, all right, this is a play. You see it, and you just kind of hope, like, ah, crap, I hope this isn't the play – that makes the difference in the game. And unfortunately, for sure, the Adam Duvall play is one of them, and then I would say Eddie Rosario is probably another one. Because if he doesn't get doubled off, you're talking about runners on first and second with one out in the first inning with Austin Riley coming to the plate. I mean, that's a fair chance, just judging by what Riley's been able to do. That's something good, that there's a good capability that something good is happening there. Unfortunately, it didn't happen, so you know, you kind of deal with the hand that you're dealt. On the positive side, though, I mean, that is a tough comeback for the Dodgers to do what they had to do. And the Dodgers have one pitcher who has normal rest, who's been ready to go, who wasn't used early in this exchange because he was used early last series, and that was Walker Buehler. So this was the game for the Dodgers. This is the thing about this series in L.A., and this is why I am not panicked about what's going on at all right now. The Dodgers have to sweep the series in L.A. because the Braves, if they can just split each series, and I'm splitting each homestead into its own separate series here. So games one and two were their own series. The Braves swept that series. Games three, four, five, separate series in L.A. Dodgers now up 1-0. Games six and seven, separate two-game series in Atlanta. The Dodgers have to sweep this series in order to feel good. If they don't sweep this one, then they have to sweep in Atlanta to move on to the World Series. The Braves don't need to sweep. The Braves just need to split. Take one in L.A., take one in Atlanta, and it's over. That's the benefit of going up two games to none. You have the easier path. All of the pressure is on the opponent. And I know there's a lot of people, Ron Darling especially, who like to make a lot of excuses for this Dodgers team. You can't really make any of the excuses for them because the Braves are missing more people due to injury than the Dodgers. They're missing more valuable players due to injury than the Dodgers are. The Braves are a much more worn-out team. The Braves are a team that's missing way more people. I mean, for God's sake, we started Guillermo Heredia in center field for most of the season. I mean, there's no excuse other than the Braves are just beating the Dodgers. And you get this idea of, oh, well, they're only an 88-win team. It must be the Dodgers falling off. And even that's not... The 88-win team mantra is not the correct attitude for this Braves team. When you look at the Braves after the trade deadline, so August forward, they are a 41-win team. They average out to a 106-win team, the same as the Dodgers. This is not an 88, quote-unquote, win Braves team. It was an 88-win team, or maybe even a little bit less, and then the Braves went out and they added three new starters and two new bench players. Like, it's not the same team as it was, so you can't look at them the same way. This team, now, to be completely fair here, if you're one of these people freaking out about this series and freaking out about last night, there is a particular reason I could see it. One, Cody Bellinger's homer in the eighth inning with two out in the eighth inning is the exact same, other than there was two runners on this time, and last time I don't believe there was anyone on. I think it was a solo last year. It was either a solo or a two-run shot. But a three-run homer yesterday with two outs in the eighth inning to put the Dodgers ahead. Same basic situation as what happened a season ago where it was a tie game and Cody Bellinger blasts a homer in the eighth inning with two outs, with four outs left remaining in the game. And Cody Bellinger blasts a home run to go ahead and put the Dodgers ahead and eventually seal it off. That was in game seven last year. Obviously this year in game three. And you know what? I'd rather it happen in game three. For the Dodgers, they were desperate yesterday. They had to win yesterday's game in particular, throwing Walker Buehler. I mean, that was the only pitcher they have who's healthy. And even so, they still went through a million of their pitchers. I mean, Walker Buehler couldn't get through four innings. So they had to throw Buehler, who gave up seven hits in 3 2/3 innings. That's another untold story of this game and why I feel really good about this series right now. Then they had to throw Alex Vesia. Then they had to throw Corey Knebel, who gave up a walk and an earned run. Had to throw Paul Bickford again. Somebody named Justin Brule, who this was the first time I've seen him in the series. Had to throw Joe Kelly again. Old Atlanta Brave Evan Phillips had to throw multiple innings. Tony Gonsolin got in there again. Kenley Jansen got in there again. They used a lot of different pitchers yesterday. They cannot afford to keep doing that. They're a team that they have to figure something out, because if they have to keep using the same pitchers over and over and over, that's advantage Braves too. They don't have any starters that are now rested. They're talking about using Julio Urias either today or tomorrow, but Julio Urias has pitched a ton in this postseason, as has Max Scherzer. And Max Scherzer's got a little bit of dead arm on him too. So Buehler was their big hope. And yeah, they won the start with Buehler. The Dodgers are obviously going to be happy about that because they had to have that win. But it did not go particularly well for them, especially considering that Charlie Morton gave up two runs right out of the gate in the first inning. Charlie only went five innings himself, walked six batters, completely un-Charlie Morton-like, and the Braves were still in a place to win it before Luke Jackson gave up the home run to Cody Bellinger, along with four earned runs in total, which allowed the Dodgers to plaster on a big inning there. But we were talking about the send from Ron Washington and the not send that cost that. And that is actually one of those weird examples where if he sends Adam Duvall on a play that he would normally send anybody, then it's 6-6. And if Eddie Rosario doesn't get hosed or doubled off in the first inning, you're talking about that could have been another run 7-6, and there you go. Now, every time that you have a situation like that, every situation is going to be different. So there's different variables that will go into play depending on scores and all that and blah, blah, blah. But the base look would be, like, hey, if you'd have just sent Duvall here, if you'd have just been, you know, normally aggressive here, then the Braves would have scored there. We'd have been in extra innings where who knows what could have happened. And I get that. But again, I never expected to sweep the Dodgers. So I'm not panicking. I'm not pressing the panic button. Overall, yesterday's game, and I know that there's this thing that the Braves don't win in LA. They don't. But then I mean most. LA, shocker of all shockers, like most teams, they're a better team at home than they are away. So that tends to be part of the reason. But one of the things that made me feel really good about yesterday is the offense. The offense came to play. We're going to talk about that. But before we do, we got to get a quick word from our sponsors. One of the sponsors for today's episode, one that we have had for a very long time, is Spotify Green Room. Green Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans by sports fans. The app is free to download. And once you're in, you can talk to anybody, other fans, real-time hosts, you can talk to reporters, basically anybody, because everybody can be on this app. You can follow along with your favorite Locked On shows once a week. It's the perfect place to start or join conversations about whatever league you're enjoying, whether it's baseball, basketball, football, whole nine yards, you can find it on Spotify Green Room. You'll find fans just like you for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and reacting to big news or rumors. You'll have a chance to chat with me, you know, any of the other Locked On hosts. Maybe you'll have a chance to be featured on Locked On Braves if somebody does a Green Room as an episode, which has been known to happen. Make sure to download today on the iOS or Android app. Link your own Twitter to it. You can follow along. You can follow along with your favorite shows so you can be kept up to date whenever they start a new room. Spotify Green Room is really changing the name of the game. So back to this little portion here about the Braves offense. The Braves had 12 hits yesterday. Now, I know hits don't always convey everything because they had 12 hits and I think there were 9 of them were singles. Not a lot of extra bases. Actually, they only had one extra base hit yesterday. 12 hits and 11 of them were singles. Not necessarily something you're used to seeing from this Braves team. But you know what? You tell me that you get 12 hits and I would assume that you win that game. And they do with better base running. They do with a little bit more timely hitting maybe, but it's a good sign for the Braves against Walker Buehler, who at this point is the best arm that the Dodgers have. The Braves were able to go out there and plaster him, for lack of a better word. Rosario went 1-for-3 with 2 walks. Rosario's been fantastic this season. And Freddie Freeman kind of shook his slump a little bit. Freddie went 3-for-4, scored a run, had a walk himself. That's a couple games in a row. That's a couple games where we've seen Freddie start to get on base. And after that 0-for-8 start, that is really, really, really important to see because this Braves team, they need Freddie Freeman in order to win. They're not going to win without him. So to see him actually kind of start picking it up again in Game 3 here, that was important to see. And that's one of the things that going into tonight's game, that's what I want to keep an eye on. If Freddie can keep hitting, then I don't feel panicky at all. And Austin Riley 1-for-4. He had 3 strikeouts. That's not a common occurrence. You probably won't see that very often, especially if they go bullpen game today. Ozzie 1-for-5. Duvall actually got a couple hits. Jock Peterson went 2-for-4. Travis d'Arnaud was the only starter who went 0-for. And that's, I don't know what Travis's issue is right now. He might still be hurt. And it could just be that he's just not playing well, or he missed so much time this year that he's just kind of is what he is offensively. But he's not really in there for the offense right now. He's in there for the game calling anyway, so that's kind of just going to have to live with that. It does kind of irk me a little bit. It kind of concerns me a little bit that the Dodgers have stolen, I think, 8 bases off of him this series, and really they haven't even been close. I don't think you can continue to allow that to happen. Shea Langeliers, if Travis isn't going to be able to hit offensively, then it might be, you know, you might, I don't know that they'll consider this because you don't want to see Shea get his first opportunity in the playoffs, but speaking from a standpoint of what would be best for the team, it might be best to have Shea Langeliers, who's a better defensive catcher than anybody else in the majors, but most assuredly better than Travis d'Arnaud and has the arm to control the running game. I don't know how his game calling is. I mean, pitchers that have thrown with him in the minors absolutely love it, but it is a little bit different coming from the minors to the majors. So I don't want to absolutely rush somebody that you don't have to rush. But the Braves last night, they played well for the most part, other than a few blunders, which has been a theme throughout this series. This has been an extremely tight series, But it's been a very ugly series on the bases. There have been a lot of base running blunders. There's been a lot of bad defense. And that, to me, is one of the key reasons about another why I'm not really freaking out, so to speak. There's a lot of people who obviously are feeling, holy crap, it's just like last year. And I can see that because the situation is almost exactly like last year. If the Braves go on and let's say the Braves win today and they go up 3-1, it's exactly what happened the season ago. I mean, the Braves won the first two games. Now you lost game three here, which last year was started by Kyle Wright and was a blowout. And then all of a sudden it went to 7, and then the Dodgers beat you after you went up 3-1, the Dodgers won 3 in a row. And that's the situation the Braves fans just want to avoid this year, is don't get me to the same situation as a season ago. My factor on that is even if we get to that same situation, I'm still not as worried about losing 3 in a row because we have a couple things that we did not have last year, and that is pitching depth. And that is something we're up 2-1 without any of the starters really throwing that well. Ian was awful, Max was really bad by his standards, and Charlie Morton was not particularly good yesterday. 6 walks for Charlie is not good at all. The fact that he went 5 innings just shows you what type of will Charlie Morton has. Charlie threw 96 pitches yesterday. Only 55 of them were strikes. He had no command, and he still made it through 5, allowing 2 runs. That is something that you can shake. You can hang your hat on as that if you're a Braves fan. That's something that is pointing in a very good direction. The Braves have a pitching staff now of starters that they feel that they can trust no matter what situation they get into. And that's something that they did not have a year ago, so the offense does not have to be quite the same level that they were at. Although, you know, missing Acuña, the offense is worse than it was a season ago, but it's not substantially worse. Then you talk about really what's the overall takeaways from yesterday's game. And for me, the Dodgers didn't really look any better. They really looked one Cody Bellinger swing better than they did in the first two games. Their defense is still a major issue. It popped up its head yesterday with Gavin Lux playing center field because they've just conglomerated a bunch of talent, and they're just kind of sticking them in places where they're athletic enough to play, not necessarily in the places that are best for them to play. The defense is a major issue, as is the usage rates of all of their pitchers. Now that Buehler went 3 2/3, they don't have a rested pitcher right now. They do not have a guy right now who they could throw out there and say, all right, eat this game because I need somebody who's got who has some innings to throw. They don't have that guy right now. And the Braves have not looked overmatched at all in the series, in any area, against any of the pitchers. This Braves team looks this entire time, not only do they look like they should be hanging with the Dodgers, they've been a little bit better. They've been a little bit better in the hit department, 28 hits to 24. They've scored one more run than the Dodgers, so they've got the run differential in play. They've played better defense. I mean, the Dodgers have stolen a lot more bases, and that's about the one area where the Dodgers have been better than the Braves. And the Dodgers have a few more home runs. I think one or two more home runs than the Braves in the series. But overall, the Braves have looked like the better team. If you're talking about which team has looked slightly better, it's been the Braves. And no, Ron Darling, I don't care about Max Muncy because I'm missing Ronald Acuña, which means I don't care. I don't need to hear your excuse about it. I don't need to hear your excuse about how Gavin Lux is having to play center field because Bellinger's having to play first base, when that completely ignores the fact that Cody Bellinger had been benched and Gavin Lux would probably have been considered the better offensive option by Dave Roberts heading into the postseason. And Gavin Lux offensively hasn't been an issue. So no, Dave Roberts, I don't have to look at and assume this, oh, well, the only reason that the Braves are playing like they are, the only reason that the Dodgers are struggling defensively is because they're missing Max Muncy. It's not just Gavin Lux who struggled. Gavin Lux has made a couple outstanding plays in center field. Yeah, he made one bad play going back, but let's give a little bit of credit to the Atlanta Braves. And Jeff Francoeur, man, it's okay to tell this guy to shut up a time or two. Let him know that this ain't that game. The Braves are a good team, and they've just outplayed the Dodgers. Period. I'm tired of hearing that from Dodgers fans, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more in closing because I don't have a lot of time left before I got to head to the real job here. But just going to let you know a couple more sponsors. Today's episode brought to you by Built Bar, which, as I tell you guys all the time, Built Bar's the greatest in the world. No doubt, hands down, no comparison. Nobody beats a Built Bar, the best protein bar in the world. Go to BuiltBar.com, try them out for yourself. Try all the fantastic flavors. Now they have a chocolate coconut crunch flavor. They've got a s'mores flavor coming on. They've got all sorts of fantastic flavors. Go to BuiltBar.com. Build your own little pack there. try out all the flavors that you want to try. I guarantee you're going to find one that you're just hooked on. They're just that good. 19 grams of protein, only about 4 net carbs. Built Bars are the way to go. They are the future. Built Bar, making the perfect protein bar. Now, today's episode is also brought to you by our friends at BetOnline. If you are a degenerate gambler, or if you've wanted to get into the sports betting world to see what it was that had Pete Rose so enamored that he threw everything away, or if you just wanted to get more involved in maybe a sport that you haven't been able to sit through all the way, or maybe you just want to show that you're smarter than the average Las Vegas casino computer, just go to betonline.ag and you can show all of that. You can put your money where your mouth is. All you got to do is go to betonline.ag, sign up, deposit your money. We can use the promo code Locked On, by the way, when you do that. It's going to get a nice little surprise when you do. But go to betonline.ag, and you're going to find lines for all of your favorite sports, whether it's mixed martial arts or boxing, whether it's horse racing or baseball playoffs or football that's underway or basketball for opening day. I mean, you can find any line you need, you're going to find on BetOnline. You're going to find it in all sorts of areas, whether it be advanced or beginner or, you know, parlay, straight bets, whatever, you're going to find it on BetOnline. And like I said, all you got to do is sign up, use the promo code Locked On, and when you make your initial deposit, you're going to get a nice surprise. Go there, try it out for yourself, and put your money where your mouth is. BetOnline.ag, that is BetOnline.ag. And just closing this out for today, because I am very ready for Game 4 to get started a little bit later tonight, 8:30 tonight, or 8 o'clock tonight. I think it said, in LA, which I don't know, maybe the time zone plays a little bit of a factor with the Braves, but I am very, very sick of hearing this announcing crew and the way that they talk about this Dodgers team. And it's more Ron Darling, but it's Brian Anderson as well. When you hear these two in particular talking, I don't need to hear any Dodgers fan complaining about an announcing crew being anti-Dodgers. There's no announcing crew that's anti-Dodgers. And if you listen to these guys, and you come away with anything other than they sound like gigantic Dodger homers, it's because you're a gigantic Dodger homer. And you think that if all three people are constantly singing the praises of the Dodgers, even when the other team does something well, then you think they're against you. And that's not what it is. This is listening to Dodgers fans whine and cry about the announcing crew for this series. It's like listening to Patriots fans argue that referees are against them. It's just not true. I mean, it's just, factually, it's not true. Everyone wants the Dodgers to win. Everybody wants that team that spends all the money and has all the sexy players, the super team. They all want the super team to win. Jeff Francoeur is the only person in that booth that doesn't want the Dodgers to win. And he's also not speaking out. Now, I don't know if it's because it's Jeff's first time in the playoffs, maybe. And he's trying to defer to like Ron Darling and Brian Anderson. But I would appreciate Jeff speaking up a little bit more. Once you start getting ridiculous takes that Ron Darling was trying to throw out yesterday, takes like, oh, the reason why the Dodgers are struggling is, you know, because Max Muncy's not in there. Or, you know, when Walker Buehler can't find the strike zone in the first couple innings, it's, well, you know, really it's because Walker Buehler has a bunch of pitches and he's just getting warmed up. But when it comes to Charlie Morton not knowing how to get in the zone, it's, well, you know, Charlie Morton just doesn't have it. He's not fooling any of these Dodgers hitters. You know, it's little things like that. It's little subtleties like anytime a Dodger player does anything. Oh, and here they go. They're starting to get going now. They've got it, folks! Listening to them go crazy over every single the Dodgers hit and then go quiet whenever the Braves start to get runners in scoring position before last night's Cody Bellinger home run and before the Dodgers were able to finish out that win with Kenley Jansen, where they just went nuts as if this were just some crazy underdog story, as if the Dodgers are the underdog in this situation and not the massive favorite as the super team in baseball. But that's just something that you have to deal with when you're dealing with broadcast crews, that you tend to get a lot of them like that. I would love to see the Braves. I would love to see the Braves win one in LA and then clinch on Saturday and make them have to call that game in Atlanta. So Bill Plaschke has to hear that Atlanta crowd after hearing the quiet Dodger crowd. I would love to be as petty as possible. Now I'll take any series victory I can get, whether it's in five games, whether it's in six, or whether it's in seven. I don't really care. You win and give me the World Series either way, but you give me my druthers here. I'd love to see them win, split one in LA, and then finish the series in Atlanta and make these guys have to call it there. I know a lot of you guys feel that way too. Hopefully you guys are enjoying the series here and enjoying the show today. I'm going to go ahead and end it for today so I can get along and do the bill paying job here. Thank you guys for tuning into today. Game four tonight at 8:08. Make sure you're there for first pitch. Bullpen game for Atlanta. I would guess. Now it's got Oscar Noah listed as the starter. I don't know if he's actually going to be the starter or not. I think there's a possibility that you would see AJ Minter as the starter, and I think that's probably the route that I would lay. We'll see what happens. Even if it is Oscar, I'd love to see Oscar really put the team on his back. We'll see what happens. But either way, Braves have a good shot tonight, as the Dodgers have been. The Dodgers has Julio Urias listed there as well, but there's a lot of ideas running that both teams could run a bullpen game today. And if they do, then take the bullpen game, put the Dodgers' backs against the wall, and let's see what happens. So thank you guys. We'll be back again tomorrow right here on Locked On Braves.